Well, more now on our top story, that of the protests in Iraq by supporters of Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Mahmoud Abdul Wahed joins us again live from Baghdad. What's going on now, then?
Kerry, there have been reports about casualties from tear gas canisters that were shot at the protesters by security forces. The media office of the Prime Minister, Mustafa al-Kazemi, has just issued a statement reiterating al-Kazemi's instructions to security forces to keep order and maintain security and safety of the state institutions. Now, these protesters do not seem to be back off, despite the fact that there have been injuries from tear gas canisters. And they say that they will continue moving on towards the green zone until the parliament responds to their demands. These protesters have come from several Iraqi cities. They're mainly supporters of the Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. They do not want the parliament to accept Mohammed Shaya al-Sudani as prime minister, nominated by the coordination framework, the pro-Iranian political or parliamentary bloc that is backed by Iran. Now, these protesters also say that they do not trust the judiciary. Their protest today is not only against the parliament. They say they do not trust the parliament because they say that the parliament could hold a session behind closed doors. So they want to put pressure on the parliament in order not to hold that session dedicated for electing a new president of the state and naming a new prime minister. They also say that they're blaming the Supreme Judiciary Council for the stalemate the country has been suffering from over the past few months. That's because the Supreme Court gave the parliament the right to hold or postpone choosing a new president, a new prime minister, and forming the government, namely the Sadrist bloc in the parliament were not able to hold a session to name a prime minister or form a government. That is because they never had a quorum reached in the parliament due to the absence of the coordination framework lawmakers. So again, now they're protesting in front of the heavily fortified green zone, and they say they seem to escalate. They want to escalate it. They want to probably to hear instructions from their leader, Muqtada al-Sadr, to again, once again, storm the green zone, like as they did on Wednesday when they stormed also the headquarters of the parliament.
And Mahmoud, with everything going on around you where you are and with the parliamentary session cancelled, what's likely to happen next?
Well, there have been talks about mediations. The hope now is on the mediations, the under-the-table negotiations between the rival political factions. There have been mediations from Iraq and also from regional, namely from Iran. There have been reports about Ismail Qaani, the commander of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Quds Force. There have been reports about talks and mediations by Ismail Qaani for the past few days between the rival political factions, and namely the Shia rival factions, to bring them to common ground. This is an attempt from Iran to probably heal the rift between Shia political parties, because by political norm, the prime minister is Shia. Since the 2005 constitution, by political norm, the prime minister should be Shia, the president of the state is Kurd, and the speaker of the parliament is Sunni. So these protesters say that they do not trust the parliament. They say they will continue protesting, and they're planning to storm the green zone again unless they have a guarantee. They guarantee that the parliament is not accepting Mohammed Shaya al-Sudani as nominated for prime minister.
And Mahmoud, we understand there's a big security presence in Baghdad at the moment. Just how tense is the situation?
It is very tense. It is very tense since Wednesday, especially yesterday, last night. These protesters already started coming from several cities since last night. And there have been blockings of main roads leading to the main square, the Tahrir Square here. But it was opened at the last moment. And also there have been security presence, heavy security presence in the area, deployment of security forces and also security vehicles upon request and upon instructions also from Prime Minister Mustafa Al-Kadhimi, who instructed the security authorities to keep order and maintain security and safety of state institutions. That is especially following the Wednesday incident when these protesters stormed the Green Zone and also stormed the headquarters of the parliament. It seems that the situation is likely remaining very tense until these protesters get instructions from their leaders.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there for a second. Forgive me, Mahmoud. We're going to have to leave it there for a sec, Mahmoud. Forgive me in Baghdad, because we have Dorsa Jabari, who is elsewhere on the site, actually. Dorsa, if you can hear us, what's happening where you are?
Well, as you can see behind me, there is a portion of the wall that leads into the Green Zone behind it. The demonstrators here broke down that section of the wall a few minutes ago, and they are now going into the Green Zone. To zoom into that area, you see the concrete that is laying flat now on the ground. That was once, just a short while ago, part of the wall. We're going to try to move a little bit closer to where these demonstrators are going in. The ones that you see, the crowds walking towards this area, those are the protesters that gathered this morning from Tahrir Square. They are now making their way through this area and into the Green Zone. The parliament is on this side, a few hundred meters away. They are hoping to reach that building in the next few minutes. We understand the aide to Muqtada al-Sadr has said that there should be no bloodshed here. They're asking for the police and the demonstrators to respect each other and not to resort to any violence. But we've already heard of injuries that have taken place. And we also know that tear gas has been used. We can still smell it where we're standing. We're going to try to get a little bit closer. I'm going to ask my cameraman, Haider, to walk with me as we move in. And you see the riot police here are standing by, not doing anything. They are allowing these protesters, who have been peaceful for the most part so far, to walk in to the Green Zone area. They say that they are not happy with how the government has been handling their demands since the elections here, which took place in October last year. This is a very similar scene to what we witnessed about 3 years ago in October of 2019, when the demonstrators at that point took over Tahrir Square and they occupied it for weeks on end. Now they're saying that they don't want the nominees that have been put forth by the Iranian-backed political groups in parliament to be the next prime minister. They want a different system. This is what is left of that wall I was talking about a short while ago. We're going to try to go over with the protesters. And this is now, you're looking into the Green Zone area. I'm just going to let you see what is happening here.
And Dorsa, these are dramatic pictures that we're seeing here with calls for no bloodshed and no violence. What's the feeling you have of the mood of the protesters there?
They seem to be very determined. I even had one of the demonstrators show me the casing of a canister that was fired at them. And the only thing he could convey to me, he didn't speak any English, but he said, this is what Iran sends to us from their country. Certainly a very hostile environment towards the Iranians that have had a foothold in this country now for quite some time. There is a sense that these demands that they've had for years now are falling on deaf ears. But this time, they have a very influential and powerful cleric and politician, Muqtada al-Sadr, who is very much behind them. This is his home base. This is his supporters that are here now, demanding that they are not going to take part in a political system that they view to be very corrupt and that has other countries involved in their political process. They want their country to be theirs and theirs only, and they want to be the only ones that have a say in their own political process and choose their own political leaders, including their prime minister and president.
As you say, a very influential cleric there. What's your sense of how long the protesters may stay there for and how determined they are?
Well, I think these pictures will speak for themselves. They have been here since early this morning, and they are now walking towards the parliament building. They are not stopping, and the police certainly are not getting in their way. We've seen since this morning, it took us about three times as long to even get to our offices because all the main roads in the city are blocked. There is a severe police presence, security presence across Baghdad, and this is why. For now, they seem to be content to allow these demonstrators to voice their discontent. We've only heard of tear gas being fired at them. And these demonstrators, as you can see, mostly young men, they really just want their demands, which to them is very basic. They want to be able to earn a decent living. They want to be able to have a say in the political process of their country. They want their political leaders that they have elected and that are not under the influence of other countries. I think the next few hours, a few days, will be critical because what will be happening is there will be discussions taking place between the different political parties and the political leaders to try and bring an end to this deadlock. But this is a deadlock now 10 months going, and whether or not they'll be able to do that remains to be seen. We know that Muqtada al-Sadr said he was withdrawing from the political process last month, and 73 of his MPs also resigned in protest because they said that they were not going to take part in a corrupt system. So whether or not they'll be able to come to some kind of an agreement to get out of this deadlock, we'll know in the next few days, hopefully. But those negotiations certainly must be taking place right now behind closed doors. And we also know that the toll that this political instability is taking on Iraq is very much apparent in everyday life here. There is still no budget for this year. The government has not had a budget for 2022. That means there is no accountability for where the money that this country makes is going. This is, of course, one of the world's biggest producer of oil, and they are one of the wealthiest, technically, according to their oil sales. But being in this city and talking to ordinary people, you certainly don't see any of that wealth being distributed amongst the population.
Dorsa, we can hear the chanting and we can see around you there the police, as you say, apparently not becoming involved, but clearly they look like they are gearing up for, to be prepared for all eventualities.
Yeah, I just had my cameraman show you the riot police here that have lined up. They're moving in closer to the area where we were standing. And you can see they're quite calm. They're not keen to have any kind of confrontation take place. And I think the general sense is after what happened in 2019, over 600 people died in 2019 as a result of those demonstrations. There's certainly a feeling here that they don't want a repeat of that. There is a number of meetings that have taken place by the Prime Minister and the President over the past few days to try and bring some kind of recommendation reconciliation. But I think we're going to move out of here because the police are... Let's move back. Let's move back. We're just going to move back so the riot police can move in. I think there is a sense everybody involved, they don't want this to escalate any further. But the longer this instability goes on, the longer the possibility of that becomes a reality.
Indeed. And give us a sense of how difficult the economic situation is, which has at least partly led to some of the frustrations that we're seeing boiling over behind you now.
Yes, the last time I was here was about 2 years ago, and unemployment was at all-time high. And they also had, of course, very difficult times with the pandemic. That was another factor. The unemployment rate is double digits, well over 30% in Iraq. Most of the people that are educated are unemployed, or if they are employed, their salaries are very, very low. I've spoken to doctors who, during the pandemic, were really hit hard. They were working around the clock, and their salaries are a few hundred dollars a month. This is a country that is not like certain places in the region where it's quite inexpensive to live. It is still very expensive. Property is expensive. Renting is expensive. Home. And the cost of daily life is also expensive. So there is a sense that people are not reaping the benefits of their own country's natural resources, which is oil and gas. And they say this is because of the corruption that exists on all levels of government, not just one, not just two, but across the board. And they blame a lot of that not only on the U.S.-led invasion, which happened here in 2003, but also on the influence of the United States and Iran that still very much exists in this country. There is, of course, also within the government itself, the minorities that also have issues with the central government in Baghdad. The Kurdish population in the north of Iraq, they have to elect a president after the elections, which took place in October, and they have still not been able to appoint a president who then is tasked with appointing the prime minister. There is a sense that their own divisions within that region is also creating instabilities here. So it's a very, very complicated situation, and I think we are seeing the results of that unfold on the streets here today.
Okay, Dorsa Jabari, thank you for that update from where you are. We're now going to cross back to Mahmoud Abdelwahed, who is joining us live elsewhere on the site. Forgive the earlier interruption. Very fluid situation, as you can understand. What's happening now where you are?
Curious if I heard you right, because there's a lot of noise around me now, because more protesters are coming in, heading towards the green zone, this way right behind me. They're very close to the green zone. There are people already around the green zone being pushed back by security forces, like my colleague Dorsa Jabari has just mentioned. Now, I have seen ambulances heading towards the green zone, and sounds of tear gas canisters. According to reports, that there are some injuries by tear gas canisters. Now, these protesters come from several cities across Iraq. They are strongly affiliated to Muqtada al-Sadr. They have been chanting here since the morning. They have been chanting against Muqtada al-Sadr's political rivals, namely the pro-Iran coordination parliamentary bloc known as the Coordination Framework. And despite the clashes with security forces, despite the tear gas canisters, and by the violence by the fences of the green zone, but these protesters seem to be determined to move on. They say that they will not back off. They will not pull out unless and until the parliament responds to their demands. They say that they do not trust the parliament. They say that the parliament could probably hold that session that was postponed, could hold it behind closed doors. And they say that we do not want to wait until they come up with Mohammed Shaya al-Sudani being nominated or being appointed as prime minister. They say that they will continue to put pressure on the government until the government responds to their demand. It's very chaotic here. It's very chaotic. They have pulled down all concrete walls from on the way from the Tahrir Square in the city center on my left until all the way until the green zone on my right. There have been ambulances heading towards the green zone, probably because of the casualties of the tear gas canisters. And also there have been bulldozers heading that way, probably try to remove the blocks put by security forces to prevent the protesters from advancing any further towards or in or close to the green zone. Now, that primarily relies all that situation. I mean, the solution now primarily relies on the mediation, the under the table, on the margin, mediations between rival factions. There have been negotiations, there have been mediations. The coordination framework, the pro-Iran parliamentary bloc, announced that it is started under the table negotiations since Friday. Whether or not this is accurate, we cannot verify for the time being, at least for now. But there have been reports about other mediations by Iran, namely by the commander of the Revolutionary Guard Quds Force, Ismail Qaani. He's been here in Baghdad for days now, trying to mediate between the rival factions to reach a common ground in a way to heal the rift between, namely, the Shia political parties. The problem now lies within the Shia political factions. The Shia political factions, namely between Muqtada al-Sadr on the one hand and the pro-Iran parliamentary bloc on the other hand.
Okay. We're going to have to leave it there. Mahmoud Abdelwahed joining us live from Baghdad. Thank you very much for that. We've been seeing dramatic pictures of protesters at Baghdad's heavily fortified green zone near the Iraqi parliament. Supporters of Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr gearing up for another day there of those demonstrations. We'll bring you a lot more on this as we get it here at Al Jazeera. For now, we'll leave you with those dramatic pictures.